MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, April 9, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with today's headlines. Additional indictments have been filed against a former Salem teacher. Beverly City Council hearing continues over library project and welfare fraud uncovered in Massachusetts.
I'm Bill Newell, and a bit later in sports, we have some notes on high school baseball, and today it's the home opener for the Red Sox at Fenway. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you. Partly cloudy, mid-50s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 12:25 p.m. Additional victim information has led to new indictments against a former Salem teacher. A story in today's Salem News reports that one of Daniel Hakim's 12 alleged victims has related additional information so that he is now facing 32 counts of child rape and indecent assault and battery on a child under the age of 14. Hakim is a former teacher at the Saltonstall School in Salem. In Danvers, developers have submitted plans to turn the former Danvers Hardware Store building and two adjacent properties into a new mixed-use building with housing above as well as a separate multifamily building. Michael McHugh writes in today's Salem News that in total there would be 24 new housing units as well as first-floor retail space. The Beverly City Council continued its public hearing last night on the library renovation HVAC discussion. The city is asking for an additional $14 million to complete the project. The discussion now is whether to upgrade the gas heating system or install a geothermal system. This is Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill speaking last night.
Comparable project costs for the proposed geothermal and a gas replacement system. In each instance, library renovations needed and then an HVAC system, right? So in either instance, the work that we've been talking about all along, you're going to see comparables of $9.5 million for the geo and $9.4 million for the gas. In either instance, we would do our best to not spend the owner's contingency, and the estimated owner's contingency for the geo based on project size would allow us to turn back if we're able to manage in that way, which we've done with past projects and would intend to do. We could turn back up to $1.5 million and bring that project cost down to $8 million. If it were gas, we estimate about a $900,000 owner's contingency, again, based on project size. And if we didn't spend the bulk of that, we could bring it down to about $8.5 million. So geo, $9.5 million to about $8 million, gas, $9.4 million to about $8.5 million.
The Beverly mayor adds that long-term cost for the geothermal unit will be more cost-effective over time.
In addition, beyond that, there are the, as we've talked about before and you'll see again tonight, the life cycle cost savings, where roughly $1 million in savings, pretty much all energy savings, an acknowledgement that there's a slightly higher annualized cost on equipment replacement and a bit higher annualized cost on maintenance for the geo. But when you factor them in to and weigh them against and subtract them out from energy savings, there's still about an over $1 million energy cost savings over the life of the project. That's not 2024 money, but it's savings each year over year. And that would bring the geo project cost down to about $8.3 million, where the gas project stays at about $9.4 million. So you can see the numbers are in line up front. And then over time, they're significantly less on the geo side.
That's Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill. The entire meeting can be viewed on BevCam. On North Shore Today Extra, we will feature three speakers from the public comment portion of last night's meeting. State Auditor Diana DeSaglio's investigators have uncovered $4.4 million in welfare fraud over the past 6 months. State House reporter Christian Wade writes in the Salem News Today that the Auditor's Bureau of Special Investigations looked into more than 3,200 cases and identified at least 216 instances of public assistance fraud. More than 50% of the fraudulent activity was in MassHealth, the state's federally funded low-income Medicaid program. Peabody celebrated Student Government Day yesterday at City Hall. The Daily Item reports that the 30-year tradition continued with seniors from Peabody High School shadowing elected city leaders and city employees. Mayor Ted Betancourt said that it's just been an amazing and wonderful opportunity for us here at City Government to learn a little bit from our students. And Newburyport's police department's leader is going to retire in May. The Daily News reports that City Marshal Mark Murray will retire May 10. He joined the police department as a special police officer in 1986. Bill Newell on sports next, followed by North Shore Today Extra, with more on the Beverly Library Project.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Red Sox Fenway Park home opener is today at 2 against the Orioles. The Celtics will play in Milwaukee tonight against the Bucks, and the Bruins will host the Carolina Hurricane tonight. In boys lacrosse yesterday, Marblehead edged Beverly 6-5, but the Beverly girls beat Marblehead 17-9. In high school baseball yesterday, St. John's Prep opened with a 5-4 win over St. John's of Shrewsbury, while Marblehead topped Manchester Essex 4-2, and Swampscott topped Peabody 4-1. The Winthrop baseball team is 2-1 on the season. They will play their fourth road game of the year tomorrow in Danvers. Coach Mark DiGregorio relates to us, a small school playing small ball, making the most of their on-base situations.
But some of the things that I think we do well, and that my philosophy is being very aggressive, as a smaller community and team compared to some of the teams that we have to play, like a Peabody, a Masco, a Beverly. We kind of have to teach the game a little different and do things differently on the field. So we like to be extra aggressive on the bases. The first three games, I think we're averaging about 7 to 8 steals a game. And it's just how we have to be able to move guys on. We're not a team that's going to go out there and hit lots of home runs or doubles, triples. We have to try to do things different and try to win through defense, pitching, and being aggressive on the bases. So that's kind of been my philosophy since taking over, and it's been pretty successful so far. Sometimes it can backfire, but for the most part, it's kind of how we approach the game.
Winthrop High baseball coach Mark DiGregorio in his third year with the Vikings. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra, and today we're featuring three public comments from the Beverly City Council meeting last night, their public hearing on the library project, which right now the debate appears to be between financing a gas heating HVAC system or a geothermal HVAC system. These three speakers are all speaking in favor of the geothermal aspect of that project. And so let's begin with those three opening comments at the public hearing last night.
Our first speaker who's signed up tonight from the public is Joanne Panunzio. And if you would come to the podium and begin with your name and address for the record, this will be true for all public speakers, and then you'll have up to 3 minutes to address the council. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I had to write it down to keep it under three and a half minutes. I'm here as a private citizen, but I have some insight as to what's going on with the library building and the HVAC system, as I've been a trustee of the library for over 20 years. It's important to remember that the new section of the library is 30 years old. As a trustee, it seems like every other meeting is spent on the problems of the building and the HVAC system. Just in the past 7 years, both compressors seem to take turns dying and being repaired or replaced multiple times. 4 years ago, we learned that the compressors were working only at 50% capacity. Engineers and HVAC companies determined that the system needed to be replaced. The library has been used in the summer as a cooling center. However, Mike Collins has been known to come and tweak the system to achieve a relatively comfortable level. During the extreme cold just last year, the library was used as a warming center. Because of heat loss, the system could only bring the temperature up to 54 degrees. Multiple times, roof leaks are repaired by DPS, but not all of them are in their capacity to address. Winter Street entrance is closed multiple winters due to falling icicles crashing down and cracking the entrance glass portico, a major safety concern. And just at our last March trustees meeting, we learned that money had to be moved from the electric budget line to cover the rising cost of natural gas. The assessment of the entire building showed that to meet maximum effectiveness of any new system, sealing the entire envelope of the building and a new roof is essential. To that end, we need to think of this not as an HVAC project, but as a major renovation project. It is these significant renovations that are driving the cost up, no matter which HVAC option is chosen. I wholly support a decision to upgrade to a geothermal ground source heat pump system, as opposed to an air source system. After attending the two meetings held in this chamber, I've learned a little bit about how such a system works and its benefits. Less greenhouse gas and heat emissions, the ability to zone areas for maximum comfort and needs of special spaces like the Barnett and the Beverly Rooms, which have always been a concern for us trustees, for preservation of the valuable treasures housed in these two rooms. It's four times more efficient, with less moving parts to replace. Starting at a consistent underground temperature in the 50s, ground source heat pumps give us a leg up in keeping the building, material, staff, and patrons comfortable during extreme heat and cold. I would think the air source heat pumps, which uses whatever the outside air is, would strain harder to maintain a consistent, comfortable temperature. As you know, the cities of Beverly and Salem have established an agreement called Resilient Now, pledging to make energy-efficient upgrades to existing buildings in the face of the weather extremes that climate change is bringing. Personally, I think it would be embarrassing if we have this opportunity to honor the Resilient Now agreement with Salem and decide not to follow through with it. We also committed in that agreement to reduce greenhouse gases 50% by 2030, and 2030 is less than 6 years away. If not now, when? Thank you.
And would you just remind us your name and address?
Joanne Penunzio, 31 Old Planters Road.
Thank you very much, Ms. Penunzio. I know it's a little strange because I always give away the name before you get there, but thank you. I will note that Ms. Kent, I now have the names that were already in the sign-up sheet. Ms. Kent has returned the sign-up sheet to its spot over here on the desk. So if folks are coming in, you want to add your name, please do, and we'll go and retrieve that when we get to the end of the list that I have in front of me. Our next speaker is Mr. Jordan Stutt. And again, if you would begin, name and address for the record, and then you have up to 3 minutes or until you hear the festive timer to address the council.
Thank you. Thank you to all the city councilors for your careful evaluation of this project. I'm Jordan Stutt. I live at 113 and a half Bridge Street over in Rileside. And I'm the current chair of the city's Clean Energy Advisory Committee. As many of you know, it is the Clean Energy Advisory Committee's stated purpose to advise the city and the city council on matters relating to clean energy, and we take that responsibility seriously. We've been engaged throughout this process, particularly over the last few months, to participate in the public hearings that you've held here and watch them online. Thank you for making that available. We've held a few meetings of our own focused on this issue, collected a lot of really fantastic intel, both from the city and their consultant team and other experts in this space, and called a special meeting last week so that we could vote on this and provide input to you all. I'm pleased to share that all attending members voted in support of the city's proposal on this project. I want to take a moment to share some comments from Fred Hopps, who is the founding member of the Clean Energy Advisory Committee, and a current member as well who couldn't make it tonight. With the help of federal funds, in 1981, the oldest solar field in America was established right here in Beverly. The geothermal installation at the library is groundbreaking in a different way, and with federal funding for projects like this, we can demonstrate how other municipalities can become energy independent and reduce long-term operating costs. Along with the rest of the CEAC, I encourage the City Council to support this project. As noted, we all echo that sentiment from Fred. One additional thought that I want to wrap up with: when it comes to major investments in energy infrastructure in Beverly, it's absolutely critical that we always consider a zero pollution option. We cannot afford to leave any stone unturned when we're evaluating those options. In some cases, that zero pollution option will be a financial no-brainer. In other cases, it simply won't pan out. This falls into a third category where that return on investment might not be so obvious, given higher upfront costs for the clean energy option. But thanks to the city's dogged work to track down every funding source from the state government, from the federal government, from National Grid to get utility incentives involved, it appears now that this is a very clear climate and economic win for Beverly. And again, on behalf of all the CEAC members, we respectfully urge you to support this project. Thank you again for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stett. The next speaker signed up on our list is Dean Berg. And as before, if you would begin with your name and address for the record, and then you also have up to 3 minutes to address the council. Mr. Berg, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Madam President and fellow councilors. Dean Berg. I live at 45 Neptune Street and here representing Green Beverly tonight. So many of you may believe that as representative of Green Beverly, my primary message will be of an environmental nature tonight, but I'm sorry to disappoint. My primary message is going to be one of financial in nature. And I did not follow the library project very closely until I saw the article in the Salem News and almost fell off my chair and decided that I wanted to dig in a little bit. And we actually had a couple Green Beverly board members that started to dig in, worked with City Hall, worked with the mayor's office, with the sustainability office to really understand the numbers and dig into the numbers. So as I understand it, we have two options, really. We have the option to upgrade the existing gas system, or we have the option to migrate to a geothermal system. And when you look at the financial analysis, which is broken down by the initial build, the ongoing operation and maintenance, and the cost of carbon, those three sections, I understand, based on current numbers, that the cost of the geothermal system to build is a little bit more expensive, but that is recouped in the ongoing operating costs where gas is more expensive to operate long-term. And I think, certainly I believe that we have to look at the life cycle of this project. We have to look at the 27-year span of this project. And when you look at that, those numbers are pretty much a wash, give or take a little bit. And that's not even talking about the cost of carbon. So let's talk about that for a second. I'm not going to debate the cost of carbon numbers. Those can be debatable. There are certainly different economists out there, different scientists out there that will put a different number on a ton of carbon. But what I will say is that there is a cost of carbon. And unfortunately, all we have to do is walk down the street to Lynch Park and we can see a good representative of the cost of carbon. And we all, unfortunately, are coming up with our own personal stories where we see the cost of carbon. So I'll close by saying, I think we as a city, as residents, we have a fiscal responsibility.
We do apologize that last speaker's comments got clipped off at the very end. And We remind you that the entire proceeding can be viewed on BevCam, which obviously recorded the entire meeting in Beverly, the Beverly City Council meeting last night. This is North Shore Today at sports.com.